The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Sergio Bruna, host of Aura TV's popular late-night talk show, El Pelado de la Noche, which is all new every Thursday. Stick around. I won't pretend to understand what's going on his show, but everybody on Sergio's show is having so much fun, I figured maybe it'd be contagious even for a clueless gringo like myself. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you prefer to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media Interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of men in bad wigs and false teeth, surrounded by the women who apparently show their love for them in tight short skirts and scoop neck blouses in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Right about now, I'm figuring that Sergio Bruna, star of Aura TV's popular late-night TV variety series, El Pelado de la Noche, is wondering what wrong turn landed him on Mr. Media. Now, I must tell you that when a publicist approached me about featuring the star of a Spanish language program, I was prepared to dismiss the pitch out of hand. I'm one of those guys who still watches all the TV shows and movies that are featured here. And if it's an author, I read their book. I know that's old-fashioned, but that's just the way I like to do it. So how was I, a guy who flailed about miserably in high school Spanish more than, at least a few years ago, how was I going to make intelligent conversation about a comedy show about which I could only follow the general flow, but not the actual words? Oh, and I had to ask the question, does Mr. Bruno speak English? He does. Then I thought, hell, just watch the show. Oh, my God. The cast and the audience have the greatest time every single week. They giggle, they guffaw, they clap, they stomp their feet. Bruna and his cast, including some extraordinarily beautiful young women, knock them dead every time out. Now, obviously, being here, the show is looking to get the word out. So why not do it here with this proviso that I may not know what the heck I'm talking about? El Pelado de la Noche is a web TV series with new shows posting every Thursday on Aura TV. If you don't know, that's www.ora.tv. Not .com, not .net, ora.tv. Okay? That's it.
Exactly.
All right. It is one of only two Spanish language programs on the channel, which is still best known, at least among English-speaking people, as the home of Larry King's post-CNN talk show. That one, needless to say, is in the King's own English. Other notable programs include William Shatner's Brown Bag Wine Tasting. Folks, I swear I'm not making that one up. And two-time Mr. Media guest, Jesse Ventura, who is host of Off the Grid. Sergio Bruna, la bienvenida al señor Medeiros.
Gracias. Gracias.
That's all I got, pal. That's all I got.
That's awesome, man. Thank you so much. What an introduction. Thank you, really, Bob, for having me here. It's a pleasure to finally be interviewed by you. I'm a big fan. I think you're incredibly smart. You have a lot of tact. Interview is without a doubt the most difficult part, if you will, in my show. And it's an art that I dearly respect, and you're great at it. You have a great sense of humor. Again, I'm gonna compliment your tag. You know when to step in, when to not. You give people enough room to do their thing. So I wanted to compliment that and tell you that it's a pleasure being here. So thank you, Bob. Thank you.
I'm afraid to say anything at this point. I just want to let that linger in the air a minute before I say something I know I'm going to regret. So I guess you're not feeling the urge to bolt quite yet, huh?
That's right.
All right. Well, seriously, Sergio, what are you doing here? I'm hoping my introduction was not insulting. I guess it was not. You're here, but why are we promoting a Spanish language comedy, a late night talk show, on an English language podcast? What's the thinking here?
Okay, so we want to create awareness, and we think that you are the perfect medium to achieve that. We want to create awareness that we live and we exist in Aura TV. I mean, we've done our show on prime time at a national level here in the United States, in the Spanish market, obviously. But right now, we wanted to go global. And Aura showed interest. They're amazing, amazing people. It's a great a combination of executives that have years and years of experience in the entertainment industry. We love their take on this business model. So we decided to do this venture with them. And to answer your question, yeah, we want to create awareness that we live in Aura TV. El Pelado de la Noche is the most entertaining variety show available in Spanish in the world. Why? We are a hybrid, and let me explain the model a little bit. We're a hybrid between a late night talk show and Saturday Night Live, if you will. We have the skeleton of the classic late night talk show, meaning I'll come in and the first thing I do is I'll do a monologue. I will have interviews, funny news, gossips. But then we don't stop there. We have a cast. There's 28 people in our team, models, actors, comics, writers, producers. So we do sketch comedy. We do a lot of improvisation. I mean, it's a show that is so, there's never, ever, ever a second of dead airtime. It's so packed with high quality content. We go from one thing to another, one thing to another. We really respect the viewer's time. We think that a human being's attention is the biggest gift we can get. When somebody graces with their time and their attention, we take that very it's something very dear to us. So we respect that, and we want to really entertain and offer good quality content. Meaning, we could get away with doing sketches with low level equipment, but we do sketches sometimes movie style with up to three cameras. I mean, we really wanna show that we care by spending money on the show, really, and writers and comics. So it's a show that's very smart, it's very funny. It can be raunchy at times, and we've been,
And there is a warning on the show when you get to it that it, I don't know, understand every word of it, but there was something in it that said, hey, if you're too young for this or you're easily offended, don't watch. I figured that much out, even though my Spanish is kind of, hit or miss.
And just because we say that, that's what we get the young people to watch.
Of
just
course.
Because we tell them, do not watch. We say what we want. We say what we want when we want. And that's why it's called El Pelado de la Noche, means the bold at night. Bold because, obviously, I'm bold, but also bold because bold is sexy, man. The world hasn't caught up yet, but they're going to, man. You and I are going to be huge successes just because of it. we say what we want when we want. So that's bold because I'm bold and also because I don't hold back. And, you know, then the network wants to beep a few words, they can, but we don't hold back. We say what we want when we want, and we're very real. And I think that's part of why audiences like us. We have the hottest girls ever. I mean, you have no idea how many people volunteer to be part of that casting when we were in their own casting, the girls, but of the most beautiful girls, they get to do comedy sketches as well.
Are you on the show's casting couch right now?
Yeah, right. Like we've cast some people. We've cast some people. Yeah, yeah.
That's I think the correct answer here was probably
funky. It's my director, this funky guy. It's just I tell him, man. But hey.
Oh, you'll be getting a call after this airs from the Aura TV people saying, I think the correct answer to that question was no. There's no casting couch. There's no funky smell in here.
Of course, man.
So I in my notes I had put that the show was kind of a cross in American English language television, Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel and Saturday Night Live. So I feel better already that you mentioned Saturday Night Live in your description. So I'm picking up. I'm not missing it entirely. It is funny. It is intended. There is that kind of a scope to it. What shows, either on the Spanish networks or the American or the English networks, did you model after besides the Saturday Night Live?
Well, you know, this is a format that's it's been done for 40, 50 years? I mean, Johnny Carson was, I think, the pioneer of this format. So I think everybody's model after the great Johnny Carson. In Spanish, this is also it had a lot to do the business model. We want to be very successful. We want to make money as well. We want to be able to offer advertisers a great fresh new platform to showcase their product. So we kind of created this model with all that in mind. But for example, in Spanish, I'm sure you know Benny Hill. You remember Benny Hill, sure. The show Benny Hill? That show, it's still being sold and watched after, 40 years that it was? Those sketches are there. I remember being a kid, being 7, 8 years old, and watching that show over and over and over and over. In the Spanish world, that format is very well known. There's, in fact, two people in my cast are very well known international comedians. And they were part of a similar show like Benny Hill. You know, they use the same characters, new sketches, new jokes over and over. And that type of show works really, really, really well. And it's proven to be very successful, which is now, obviously, I'm going away from the late night talk show format. But just a show that's a half an hour scripted show that does comedy sketches, period. One after another, no hoes, and just comedy, sketch after sketch after sketch. There's this one in particular called Puro Loco, which means pure crazy or all crazy. That's been going on for 25 years, and they stopped production 12 years ago. But that show keeps being sold and watched Puerto Rico, Mexico, South America. So we wanted to model that. We wanted to model that and bring in the touch of the late night talk show. So that's why. Ultimately, what we have is if I was to pick one, I think Jimmy right now, Jimmy Fallon, is doing a show that in a way is similar to ours. Because we also go to the street. We do sketch comedies. We do sketches with the celebrities that come to interview. We address current news. And I don't know. It's just we have a great team. So it's the best way to describe it is just a very complete variety show.
I saw you had an episode with Maria Conchita Alonso, who I always just thought was just, oh my god, so cute. I don't know.
Yeah. What was the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger? What was the was Blade Runner? No. What was the name of that movie? She did a movie with Arnold. She looked great.
I was thinking of the movie I think she did with Robin Williams. I want to say it was Moscow on the Hudson, maybe.
Okay.
But, oh, my God, she's just so cute.
Really fun, too. Really fun.
Who else has been on the show that folks would recognize?
Well, we have Intocable. Intocable is probably the most successful banda ever. They won plenty of Grammys. We've had Alex Lora, which is the equivalent of Keith Richards in the Spanish world. We've had American comics, but John Secada, you know, a work with Gloria Estefan, also Grammy winning artist. We've had our share of very people love being in our show because there's no such thing. There's no such thing. You know, a lot of Spanish people consume and are fed because there's no other option more than any other reason. Soap operas, movies, soccer, pre-canned products that come from South America. So now an artist has a fresh platform to showcase who they are, their work. And our stuff is not scripted. We're a show where we don't have producers that prepare the interviews. No. You come to El Pelado, we're going to have a good time. It's very much what we're doing right now, you and I. I mean, there was no prep. It's just there's no script. It's just be real, be present. And it works great. It works great. So that's what people are very attracted to. So
what always works on your show? I mean, what can you know if something is failing? What can you always go to and get a laugh or get the audience back on your side?
Make fun of myself. Make fun of our team, and we bank on that. Like there's a show where, and I pointed that out, and that was huge. And people wrote because we have a huge following. We have a huge following on, and people send messages. I answer all my emails, believe it or not. We get sometimes it's the last thing you need to do right after an 18-hour day. But I personally answer emails, and tweets and Facebook posts. But people love the fact that one time we had run out. They were I don't know how you call it in English, but it's when you're about to shoot a monologue. A PA, a production assistant, will always mark the floor where I'm supposed to land. Because, you know, I do a kind of a big entrance. I have a corridor with curtains and lights, and the models are there. And I come in and I jump, and it's, you know, it's very colorful, very like Italy TV used to be in the 80s, almost like, right? So there's no need for that. We just do it because colors and light look good, right? And I always land where the mark is. And the guy couldn't find the tape. He just got his chewing gum and put his chewing gum on the floor. And I pointed that out. And I thought that was very fresh. But that's who we are. That's what we do. I mean, one thing that I love about our culture and our organization is that we care about the content and having a good time. And we don't care about those little things. We're not that formal. So I have this guy. He's one of the most talented comics from Mexico that live in the United States today. This guy has 30 years of career on TV, on stage. This is a guy, the people in my team were picked, our casting lasted 15 years. I mean, it's people that we've seen work, and they're hardcore comics. For example, this guy that does TV, does films, he does 4 live shows a week in the evening. So he still goes out there and does the what will be, if we were talking about acting, will be like Stanislavski Classic Theater in Moscow. Like imagine an actor that does Hollywood movies going back to Moscow to just do raw theater. So these guys do that because they love comedy. So we have this guy, he's extremely talented, and his character on the show is just, he's a production assistant. But he walks in anytime he wants. Anytime. I can be interviewing the president of the United States, and he's going to come in scratching his armpit.
I know what you're talking about. Yes, I've seen.
Yeah, so like that's the guy. So I give him his time, and I'm there to listen to what he has to say. Like there are no rules. So he comes in, he does his thing. It's always really funny because it's unscripted. Guests know about him. They love that, and they engage. So he's very playful. So again, to answer your question, we're just. It never fails because we're willing to go really, really far and ultimately make fun of ourselves.
So my local cable company here in Florida has multiple Spanish language channels that they cover, that they carry. And, you know, when I'm channel surfing, usually I'll give away a little something. I usually eat lunch standing up in the kitchen and just watch TV for a little bit, and I'll channel surf. And I always stop at the Spanish language channels. I'll catch a few, depending on the time of day, I'll catch, you know, a few minutes of a telenovela. Maybe it's soccer. Maybe it's a talk show. It's kind of the way I describe your show. The shows are always very brightly lit. People are always having fun. They're enjoying themselves. Even on the telenovelas, you get the sense that, you know, they're giving a wink to the screen, whatever craziness they're doing, because they're having fun. And of course, there's always the stunningly beautiful Latino women. My question is, what do Spanish television programmers know that American programmers do not? What are we missing?
Well, I think it has to do more than the programmers, the executives. They're always going to do things that sell. I'm not saying they don't have soul. They really don't.
No,
no, but no, they're gonna produce stuff that sells. It's very it's classic in this industry. We love you. We love your content. You guys are great, but advertisers don't want to put money right now in your business. I mean, in your show. So we gotta make room to what sells. I understand that. I don't take it personal. It's not that. It's the audience. The audience demands passion. You got to understand that Latino people are very passionate people, our culture. A poet, an Argentinian poet once said, near poverty, I'm completely translating this grammatically, which makes very little sense. I hope it does a little, but it says, near poverty, you can find love closer, or is more palpable. Love, fun. So Latinos in this country, keep in mind that most of us are immigrants. Yeah, they're second and third generations. But even the Latino, the Americans that are children of Latinos that came here were exposed to that culture, right? So immigrants came to this country with nothing, most of them, and they place the biggest bet a human being can place in life, which is, I'm leaving everything I know, I'm leaving my comfort zone, I'm leaving everything behind, and I'm gonna go to a country that I don't know, that where they speak a language I don't know, to try to fight and create a better life for me, my family, and those that come. So you can understand that is the core of immigrants and the Latino population here in this country, which is, by the way, I was astonished. 1/5 of the population in the U.S. is Latino. Where I live in California, it's 40%.
And growing dramatically.
And growing. Yeah. And in some areas, there are areas in California, it's 80%. There's towns in California, it's 80% is Latino. Signs are in Spanish, people speak Spanish. I know people that have been here for 30 years don't speak English. I know that's obnoxious, that needs to change. But that's the case. So that's the people that watch our show. And this is people that don't want to waste a second in life. They live life today because they know, you know, they've known hunger, they've known poverty, they're fighters. So they've conquered, in a way, the art of living life with passion. And so it's people that's what they're attracted to, is people that are real, that are passionate, that are not afraid, that, for example, in our culture, you wake up and there's no other way to live life, but you're going to dress your best. You're going to behave your best. You're going to put the best of yourself out there. You're not going to be afraid of getting fat, of getting tired. Why? Why to wait until tomorrow? Why to keep some gas in the reverse tank if you don't know if the car is going to start tomorrow, right? So that's a little bit of who we are and the people that we make television for. It's just so that's what those are the ones that demand that.
So let's talk about being real and stuff. You are not someone who trained his whole life to go into television and to entertain, from what I've read. This is a later development. Let me see. I'm going to do some quick math. You're about 35, 36?
That's correct. Right? 35.
And so it's only in the last handful of years that this is for you. What do you want people to know about where you came from and what you used to do before you got this comedy and entertaining bug?
So I've always been a big fan of comedy all my life. It's a great, great, great medicine. I've always appreciated it since I was young. I mean, Robin Williams, Chris Rock. I mean, these guys are masters. Later on, it was Louis C.K. I don't know if you're familiar with Louis C.K. He's extremely talented. I mean, wow, this guy. So those I always reached out to heal from live by watching comedy. So I've always been a huge comedy fan, but I was born in Spain, in Madrid. When I was 6 years old, I moved to Zaragoza. It's a very small town in Spain, near France. I spent some time when I was 9 years old in France, when I was 10 in England. So that kind of opened my eyes at a very, very early stage that, you know, there was something else out there, different cultures. For me, all that translated into possibilities. Seeing the world at an early age really made me see that I don't necessarily need to be happy where I'm at, meaning I don't need to be a victim of my circumstances. I can create new opportunities somewhere else. So when I was 14 years old, I became extremely unhappy in school. I was an okay student. I mean, I was not a stupid kid, not necessarily very smart, but I mean, my grades were okay. I just was not excited. I was not seduced by my teachers in the sense of the, even though I was in a Catholic school, that makes me seduced by my teachers. By the way, yeah.
I'm not touching this part of the conversation.
I know, we're not touching the subject.
Oh my God. No,
just, but you know what I mean? Like I was not attracted to being in school to them, but that's funny. I need to develop a bit about that, man. That's a good some material over there. I know. No, I was just sadly, you know. So I decided I was not going to be in school. And when I was 14 years old, I spent a whole year not going to school, telling my mom I was going to school. My dad left when I was 2 years old, businessman, and he was doing business in a different country. So I was just my mom raised myself and two. So there's three of us. I have two brothers. So when I was 14, I stopped going to school. And I started hanging out at parks, at libraries. I love reading. I'm still studying and learning. I'm a voracious reader. And I'm a great student, even though I didn't even go to high school. But I've never stopped studying because I just like to choose a subject that I'm attracted to. And once I find something I'm really interested in, I'll dive into, I'll do research, I'll buy tapes, videos. I'll go in the internet, I'll go to libraries. Like I that's the way I've studied every subject. So I was spending a lot of time in libraries, a lot of times in cafes, talking to people. And when I was 15 years old, I just told my mom, you know what, I don't want to be here. This is a small town. I'm wasting my time. I don't want to end up, you know, in not necessarily gangs, because there wasn't gangs where I grew up, but I just don't want to end up like this. I want to see the world. I want to work. I want to make money. That's something that I wanted to do since, because I saw it as a tool that was going to gain me a greater education and also wanted to experience a lot of things in life. So I told my mom, I'm leaving. So when I was 15, I went to Mexico, a country I fell in love with immediately. And since I was 15 years old, I've been living on my own. And most of the times I've had two, if not three jobs. So I'm a salesman by nature. That's what I've done. So I was 15 years old. Sell. So I've sold taximeters, LED signs, advertising. I've developed a product when I was 16 years old. I grabbed the accountant of a company I was working for and I convinced him to put some money in a venture. We are in Mexico City. There's more cabs, taxis in Mexico City than anywhere in the world. It's like 10 times more than in New York, just to give you an idea. It's unbelievable. So we developed a bulletproof cabin that was manufactured in China, that we even offer financing program. It was great. A bulletproof cabin that will protect the taxi driver from the passengers. We want an armor in a car. Right. We're just, so it's a kid, you could buy in a suitcase, we'll build it, we'll put it for them. So I did that with 16 and a half years old. Then I went into advertising. Then I went to Acapulco, where I spent a year, and I was 18 over there. I got into the club business, had a lot of fun, got tired of that lifestyle as well. And when I was 20, I came to the United States to start a business, VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol, and it didn't work out. It didn't work out, and I was going to go back to Mexico. But then I met my wife. I met my girl, and I decided to stay with her. So then I got back in sales, and somehow, just to survive, and because I was in Los Angeles, I got in Hollywood. So I started working in the entertainment industry, both in front and behind the cameras. And that's a little bit how a few years later I just mixed everything I am and everything I know about sales, marketing, advertising, entertainment industry, hosting, producing. And I saw the need for this program. I saw the need for this product. So I created, with my partner, Mark Vega, I created El Pelado de la Noche. And we wrote, directed, financed, produced the pilot. And so we even edited the thing. And we took it, I took it under my arm. I literally grabbed the demo with no representation or nothing, knocked doors, and we sold it to Azteca, which is the second largest producer of Spanish content in the world. And we had a very nice licensing fee deal and a great run with them. And that's how the Pelado was born. It was just a concept. And, I mean, it was hard work. We got 1,000 no's. We got 1,000 no's and 1,000 people told us, this is not going to work out and don't do it and whatnot. But, we kept pushing. We believed in the product and that people were going to see themselves in the show and that they were going to identify with us and that they were going to love it. So, but that's the product. Right now I'm in the renewable energy business. We have, you're familiar with solar panels, right? I'm sure there's, so we sell solar panels. We don't manufacture them. We sell them. So, we're in business too, and I do a couple other things. I'm writing a book right now. I do motivational speaking. I've spoken in front of 3,000 people at Delhi Convention Center. So ultimately, this is where my life and my career is going, or what I'm choosing to take it. It's in that direction. It's so, I want to.
It seems like you ultimately discovered that the greatest product you had to sell was yourself.
You nailed it. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so good. Thank you and good night.
Hilarious. You just ended there.
Right? Off. I mean, it's just those moments where you think,
I don't even try, man. I just wake up like that. I'm just great.
I'm not just a member of the Bald Headed Club. I'm the president. Is there any on the entertainment side of things, did you have any family members who entertained, were just funny, or played, or did anything? Did that all come from you? Did you inherit any of that? Were you around any of that when you were a kid?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, as far as artists, I think my grandma played the piano. I don't remember ever playing the piano. I think that's as far as but no, I have nobody in my family has. We come literally, from a very small town in Spain. Like, my dad was born in Talamantes, which is a village. I remember when I was like 6-7 years old, he'll come visit. We'll go where his parents used to live back then. They both, my grandpas both passed away, but I remember there was 45 people, Bob, living in that place. I mean, this is a place where there was only one telephone, and it was, in the major, and there was one cafeteria, one bar. Like, it was 45 people living. This is next to the mountains. I mean, people obviously, it's living and going to the towns and whatnot. But I grew up in a very, very small town. Very small town. I was born in Madrid by accident because my mother was working there at the time. But my whole family, where we moved after in Zaragoza and stuff, it's just a very small town. Nobody had ever seen a camera.
All right. Well, I've got one more question for you.
Okay.
And you've been very gracious with your time and your patience with me.
My pleasure. The other way around.
All of the shows, the Aura TV shows for El Pelado de la Noche are available at any time. So what I'm wondering is, obviously you could say people should go and watch the latest episode, but for someone who maybe this isn't naturally their first choice to check out because maybe they don't speak Spanish, or maybe they speak a little Spanish, is there one particular episode that you would say, this is the one you want to watch to really get the hang of what we do, and then you can watch any other episode after that?
Well, we absolutely. Rob Schneider, he was in the show. He speaks very little Spanish, so it was mostly, and that was entertaining to have Rob Schneider, which is a super talented guy. I mean, to have him in our couch, and his wife Patricia, it's a very well known Mexican TV producer. He went to Mexico for to do an interview in Televisa. He fell in love with her, and it's a very, very super nice story those guys have. They just have a kid, by the way. They're great people. So Rob Schneider, for any Anglosajón, any gringo, if they want to watch that one, that's fun. But also for any Latino that's watching us, Lou Pizarro was super fun. He does Operation Repo in Spanish. The guy was super funny. But this is the thing. The Model Aura, we're uploading a new show every week, but it's on demand, and it's broken up in segments. So it's not like you press play and you watch the whole hour. No, you can see a monologue. You can watch the sketches. You can watch the interview. So you choose what to watch. So now, more than just this is this week's show, we're just uploading content. So you can pick right now, I think we've uploaded 6 so far, and you can see, 6 monologues in a row, interviews, you can watch sketches and all that stuff. So it's really on demand. This is where we think television is going. I mean, people, now is the internet and on demand.
Very good. All right, folks, listen, you can find El Pelado de la Noche, starring my now good friend, Sergio Bruna, on Aura TV. Again, that's www.ora.tv. No .com, no .net, ora.tv, just like the man showed you there. New episodes posted free for viewing every Thursday. What about, obviously we gave the website for Aura TV. What about for you or the show itself? Is there a special website or social media that you want people to check out?
Well, absolutely. You can go. I have 2 Twitter accounts, The Sergio Bruna. So one is The Sergio Bruna. Then as far as my show goes, El Pelado Habla. El Pelado Habla means El Pelado Speaks. So that's what we use with our fans, so they can follow us. That would be great. We have a Facebook page, El Pelado de la Noche. But go to Aura. Click on Aura. Besides myself, like you were mentioning, Larry King is incredible. I mean, Larry King, what a legend. And you know, William Shatner. And we have, I'm very honored to be in a network with a roster of that magnitude. So go to Aura TV, play around, watch the content, share our content through clips with us, and let's have a good time.
Milltown, New Jersey, you're on. Sorry, that's like, so. Is your ultimate goal being part of Aura TV? Is that you want to be on an episode of William Shatner's Brown Bag Wine Tasting? Is that like a thing to want to
achieve? That will be a lot of fun. That will be a lot of fun, and I will love to do it. I've seen the man live, actually, in action, and he's extremely talented. Are you familiar with the show and the concept?
No, I saw it.
Let's do a little promotion for William Shatner.
All right. Because he needs it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this guy he brings wine. He's a very knowledgeable guy, like extremely knowledgeable. He's a connoisseur. And he will interview people that have, I don't want to necessarily say uncommon traits, but for example, he will go with a very well-known chef or painter or mechanic. So he brings wine to their homes or to their places of work, and he interviews them and they drink wine. But he engages the guest to talk about the wine and describe the wine they're enjoying with the lexicon, the vocabulary they use in their profession. This sounds complex and a formula for failure, I know, but it's very interesting, it's super entertaining, and he's doing a great job. And Billy Shatner just won an award, man. I think he won like the best host for an online series, or I don't know. Like, he just won an award. He's making Aura very proud.
Yeah, so I asked not to be nominated this year. So
thank you for leaving room for us.
I'm trying. Shatner. A great raconteur. An amazing Renaissance guy who just everything he touches is entertaining. I'm not surprised to hear that. I will make the effort to watch that show. I'm a little over Larry King at this point, but Shatner Shatner's very entertaining. I find Jesse Ventura pretty entertaining. You don't have to agree with his politics, but he's a very entertaining guy.
He's a very entertaining guy. Do you know who's extremely brilliant? I mean, Larry, he's funny. Larry King is funny.
Yes.
No. He's funny. Oh, like, no. His sense of humor. We did a few promos, and one take, he nails it. He's just a funny guy, and he's a comic. Not everybody, because he's been around for a while. Like, he's a comics comic. He's a comics comic. He's a very talented guy and really funny. Great sense of humor, very smart.
Years ago, 1986, I was hired as the radio reporter for the Tampa Tribune here in Florida, and my first day on the job, I show up for work and they say, here, you need to go to this place and you're going to drive Larry King around for the day. I'm like, what? Yeah, he agreed to do an interview, but he needs a chauffeur. And he said if we were going to get the interview, you're going to have to drive him around. So I was driving, I don't know, a little Datsun at the time. Maybe it was a Nissan at the time. Little car. He squeezes in. Big guy. Well, he was a big guy. Squeezes into the car with me. And I recorded hours of Larry just talking. And I have that somewhere. And eventually that will post on Mr. Media. So I spent a full day with Larry. Quite an interesting guy. I don't know what to say. Larry King. God bless him.
Yeah.
Sergio Bruna. It was a pleasure. It was a delight. And thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. The other way around. Thank you, Bob. Let's draw attention to ourselves. Bald people are sexy. The world needs to know it.
There you go. I like that.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank news and comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry and some make me sad and some make me laugh. And isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at buzzburbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Day mornings right here on the Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the George and Tony Entertainment Show. Prepare for awesome mediocrity.
We're the Cousin Oliver of the Realm Network. I'm George.
And I'm Tony.
And we're a weekly family-friendly podcast about pop culture.
From our point of view.
At RealmNetwork.com. The George and Tony Entertainment Show. From the Realm Network.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Did you listen to the latest episode of the Gaming Marathon on the Realm Network?
Of course. They really know their stuff about gaming, especially that Usid guy.
Yeah, but that Chirac guy is a real jerk. I don't like him.
Regardless, the reviews are spot on and they tell it like it is.
That's for sure.
What happened, Snake? Were you spotted?
Nah, it's just Lowell Meltzer crying about the O's again.
Close call.
I better continue the search for Metal Gear, but keep listening to the Gaming Marathon each week.
You got it, Snake.
New every Monday afternoon right here on the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk, and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
What you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. Hey, these are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot.
Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights.